Thank you for still being here. I think most of you are tired. So I'm Tian Tuxu, a third-year PhD student at Purdue UCE. And this is the job done together with my colleague Luis Maturin-Botelho and my advisor Felix Lin. So today my topic is VStore, a data store for analytics on large videos. First, why do we need video analytics? Because video data is explosive. The annual shipment of surveillance cameras grew by 10x in the past decade, up to 130 million shipments per year. So to create smart city solutions, we need to transform enormous video data into valuable insights. Then what is video analytics? It's basically user file query says, when did the man with the blue shirt show up yesterday? And through running multiple computer vision algorithms on the video data, they extract the information like man with the blue shirt show up between 11.05 p.m. to 11.07 p.m. last night. So let's take a deeper look into how does a query look like. So a query is usually composed by a cascade of vision operators. So this is a pipeline from prior work NoScope in VLDB 2017. So this pipeline has three stages. The first is the frame difference detector. It can run at very high speed. It quickly filters out those frames that does not have any difference compared to the previous frame. And the second stage is specialized neural network, which can also run very fast at 27K frames per second, because it only has a few convolutional layers compared to generic neural networks like YOLO or ResNet. However, the function is also limited. It can only do one job, like detect whether this is a car or not. And if it is not confident, this frame will finally go to the full neural network. So we can see that the operator speed has a very large range, varies from 10 to 100K. And also, operator accuracy can be chosen by the user at query time, which highly depends on the video formats. So it looks pretty simple that video analytics is like you have every frame of video data, you have a bunch of vision operators, and you at query time you directly feed all of those data into those operators. However, computer vision algorithms is not the full picture of video analytics, especially for archival video analytics. So what is archival video analytics? It means that the whole life cycle, it includes the whole life cycle of video data. First, it's ingested from the surveillance cameras, and we store it on on databases. And at query time, we retrieve those video data by decoding and read from the disk. And the final step is the video data consumption. And the first three stages is the blind spot for AI engineers. They have tons of GPUs, they have a very, very large memory, and so, but as system builders, we should think of video analytics as a whole picture. So archival video analytics is a crucial complement to live video analytics. Live analytics means when a video ingests, you run computer vision algorithms on them in real time and get real time results. However, archival video analytics have a few benefits. The first is lazy ingestion. It only do minimal job at ingestion time. It doesn't run any operators. Because only a small fraction of videos will finally be queried at query time. So always running those operators on the data is a huge waste on GPU cycles. And the second benefit is query specification. It means that users know their query better at query time. And users can also choose an accuracy level at query time. The third benefit is exploratory analytics, because users may interactively revise their queries, because the goal is not always clear at the very beginning. So to this end, we advocate for a new video store that orchestrates all the four stages: ingestion, storage, retrieval, and consumption. And it has three principles. The first is to satisfy the operator accuracy. It means that the data we retrieve from the database should meet the user's requirement on accuracy. The second is retrieval never bottlenecks the operator. It means that whenever we read from the disk and we decode the video chunks, it shouldn't be slower than the video consumption speed. And the third principle is high resource efficiency, because for each of the stage, they have different resource limits. So the first class design concern here is to control the video formats. So there are two types of fidelity knobs. The first, there are two types of knobs that we can tune. The first is the fidelity knob, and the second is the coding knob. And each of them have a significant impact on all those resource costs. At ingestion is the transcoder bandwidth, at storage is bounded by the disk space, at retrieval time is bounded by the disk read speed and the decoding speed, and at consumption time is bounded by the CPU and GPU cycles. So there are two places to tune those knobs. The first is at the ingestion time, and it's for storage purpose, and the second is at the retrieval time for consumption purpose. So let's first take a look at the fidelity knob. So I think most of you are familiar with this because you watch YouTube videos every day. So it includes the resolution, frame rate, crop factor, and the video quality. And it can be tuned at ingestion time and the query time. The second type of knob is coding knob. Basically, it includes the speed step and the keyframe interval. You guys might not be very familiar with. I will talk about that in the later slides. So knob impacts are very, very complex. So the figure on the bottom is a radar chart. So A, B, and C are three different formats. However, running the license plate detection on those three formats has the same accuracy. However, we can see that each of them are very different on each dimension of the fidelity. For example, if we took A as an example, it has a very bad quality, so the storage cost will be very low. However, it needs to have a higher resolution or sampling rate to compensate the video quality loss to reach the same accuracy as B and C. So if we take A as a reference point, compared to A, B has 8x larger storage because the quality is very high and has is 2x cheaper in decoding and 10x cheaper in consumption. And C is 2x more expensive in storage and 2x cheaper in consumption. The second type of knob is coding knob. So the first is the speed step. We can decide at the ingestion time whether to encode those videos fast or slow. If you encode it to be very fast, then the encoding efficiency is very low, so it has higher storage cost. However, at the decoding time, because you have less compressed information, you can decode those videos in a very short time. The second is the keyframe interval. Video chunks are always encoded in a group of pictures. And if you determine the group of pictures from 5 frames per chunk to 250 frames per chunk, you can have a smaller storage because encoding more frames in one chunk has higher encoding efficiency. However, at decoding time, it also takes a little bit long time. So I've mentioned that there are two places to tune the knobs. First, at the ingestion time, and it's for storage purpose. So after tuning the knobs, the format stored on the storage is called storage formats. And at query time, we retrieve those storage formats to consumption format. And each consumption format can satisfy the need for one operator at one accuracy level. It's an M2N mapping. The knob also has constraints. First, the fidelity at the ingestion must be richer than the fidelity at the retrieval. And also the retrieval speed, which means the disk read speed and the decoding speeds must be faster than the video consumption speed. So to design such a video store is challenged by the complex knob impact that we have just seen before. And we need to optimize for multiple resource types, and also the profiling for each operator is very expensive. So our key idea is the backward derivation of configuration, which means that VStore derives an optimal set of video formats in the offset direction where the data flows. So the data flows in this way. At ingestion time, we ingest those videos and store multiple storage formats on the disk. And at query time, we decode from storage formats to consumption formats, and each consumption format is tied to one operator at one accuracy level. So there are three key steps in the backward derivation. The first is configuring the consumption format. So VSTOR optimizes profiling the high dimensional fidelity space to find the cheapest format given the target accuracy. The second step is configuring storage format, because for each accuracy level, for each operator, we have one consumption format. However, it's infeasible to store all of them on a disk and it's unaffordable at the ingestion time. So we coalesce the consumption format in pairs to storage formats. The third step is data erosion. It means that user always favor more recent data. So when the data is older, we gracefully delete some of them. However, and of course, the consumption speed will also be slower. So due to time limit, I will only talk about the second step is configuring the storage format. So the goal here is to consolidate a large amount of consumption formats to fuel storage format. For each of the vision operator, for each accuracy level, there is one consumption format. So because we cannot afford storing all those consumption format or at the ingestion on the storage and at the ingestion time, it's infeasible to transcode into such a large amount of consumption format. So we need to coalesce the consumption format in pairs to storage format. So the brute force way is the enumeration. So for example, if we have two consumption format, there are two choices, whether to coalesce or not to coalesce. However, if we have 12 consumption format, the total number of possible storage format set is reached 4 million. So it is unaffordable. And this problem, you guys might be curious that it looks like a hierarchical clustering problem. So we have also done experiment on that. We try to normalize the norm values on each dimension to be 0 to 1, and we always pick the pairs that has the smallest Euclidean distance, and we try to coalesce all this stuff. However, the knob impacts are too complex. The hierarchical clustering cannot solve this problem, and it ends up with 2.2x storage cost than our approach. So our approach is in two steps. The first is the harvest the free coalescing opportunities. It means that when we choose the pairs to coalesce, the ingestion cost and the storage cost both should go down. For example, the two red formats I have tagged, the first one is the superset of the second one. So in this case, we directly remove the second one and get the second consumption format from the storage format that is the superset of both two. But in this case, we need to ensure that decoding this coalesced formats is faster than consuming those two formats. So if the system is affordable on the ingesting the storage format, then we are done. But if it's not, unfortunately, we need to sacrifice the storage space to respect to the ingestion budget, because storage is always cheaper than CPU and GPU cycles, right? So in this case, there are two formats, and none of them is a superset of another. However, in this case, we pick the largest value on each dimension to be the coalesced format. And unfortunately, the storage cost might go up a little bit. However, but fortunately, ingesting only one format is cheaper than ingesting two of them. So we implemented the transcoding at ingestion and retrieval on FFmpeg and LMDB as our storage backup. And we ported two video analytics engines, NoScope and ALPR, as our benchmark, and we run 6 outdoor surveillance videos on our system. So this is a sample configuration of video formats. So we have 6 operators, we have 4 accuracy levels. So in total, we have 24 consumption formats. And with our approach, it coalesced to only 4 storage formats. And if we look deeper in the first column, the difference detector can run at 30K frame per second, which is very fast. So unfortunately, we cannot store the encoded chunks here because decoding those video formats is slower than consuming those video formats, so we have to store raw videos here. But fortunately, those formats are very cheap, so it won't incur too much overhead in storage compared to like a in the third column, the neural network, they are very, very slow, and we need to store a very high fidelity. But the decoding speed here is faster than the consuming speed of neural networks. So this is our major result. So the x-axis is different accuracy levels, and the y-axis is the end-to-end inference speed. We have 2 baselines here. The first is 1-to-1. It means that we store the highest fidelity and we consume the highest fidelity. So this baseline is bottlenecked by the decoding and the consumption. The second baseline is this 1-to-n. It means we store the highest fidelity, and at query time, we decode this highest fidelity to multiple consumption formats. So this baseline is bottlenecked by the video decoding. So the green line is our system. So we are never bottlenecked by retrieval. And when the accuracy goes down, it also tolerates cheaper formats, and the retrieval is proportionally cheaper, so it will go up. The inference speed will go up. So this is our full result on 6 outdoor surveillance videos, and we can see that VStore outperforms all the baselines at all time. So to sum up, VStore is a data store for fast, resource-efficient analytics over large archival videos. And the key idea here is the backward derivation of video formats. And we ensure that retrieval never bottlenecks the vision operators, and we respect to multiple resource budgets. And our work urges the research on storage, which is the dark side of computer vision community. Thank you.
Hi, Chance from the University of Illinois. So it might have just been the example that you chose, but it actually doesn't seem like always choosing the superset of resolutions and frame rates results in lower storage. So I think it might have just been the numbers you had, but 360p at 5 frames per second and 180p at 15 is actually a smaller space than 360 at 15.
Yes, correct. So sometimes the storage will go up, but most of the time the storage will go down because you coalesce 2 pairs into only one, but sometimes for both of the two, it has one large value on resolution and the other has a large value on the video quality. So if we add them up, it might be more expensive than storing those two. But sometimes it happens.
There's a question here.
Hey, nice talk. Some people have proposed trying to take certain operators and push them right the way downstream so that you basically do them continuously and you basically get that, you know, very quick sort of performance. So things like object detection or even motion detection, things like this. Have you looked into how you could sort of deal with things that happen, you know, almost pre-storage ingestion? Are there spaces to put those sorts of things into your framework?
Okay, so you're saying that we run some cheap operators at the ingestion time? Okay. Actually, the goal is not always clear at the very beginning. So if we know very well what we are going to query at query time, it's the best choice to run the cheap operators at the very beginning. But we are providing a more generic way that the goal is not always clear, so it's better to run those operators picked up by the user at query time and run those on those videos.
Sure, yeah. I think it might be a good synergy with your stuff, particularly things like motion detection, where there's also a way and the encoding is already capturing this as well. But we can talk some more offline. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. All right, so let's thank